2025 belongs to Paris Saint-Germain, champions of Europe for the very first time after a stunning 5-0 victory over Inter, the biggest ever win in the final of this competition. I'm Chris Parrott as Luis Enrique is bounced into the air by his delirious players in front of the Paris Saint-Germain fans. Joyous scenes, and I'm joined by commentator Joe Shannon and European football expert Kevin Hatchard on a historic night in Bavaria. Paris so comprehensive, so brilliant as they ended their long wait to win this competition. The celebrations are in full swing, and the moment that every Paris fan dreamt of this morning, that every Paris fan has dreamt of for years, for generations in fact, is minutes away. The trophy lift is coming up on the pitch, and you'll hear it with us. That is the sounds of the engraver putting Paris Saint-Germain's name on this iconic piece of silverware for the very first time. The very first final back in the 50s was held in the French capital. Paris Saint-Germain didn't exist as a football club back then, formed in 1970. Ever since, they felt this was their destiny. It was their ultimate dream, and they've delivered it in 2025. Joe, Luis Enrique hugging everybody with this huge smile on his face. We'll get into the intricacies of the goals and how they won it later after the trophy lift, but he has masterminded tonight. Perhaps the greatest ever final performance of any team.
You'd have to say, certainly the scoreline would support that. Nobody has ever enjoyed a margin of victory like Paris Saint-Germain have tonight. And Luis Enrique, the architect of it all, a complete change of culture in terms of what has gone on at the club, the authority that the head coach has now over the group, and a group that have bought in, I think, entirely into what he's asked of them. And he now joins this unique club of managers who have gone on to win the UEFA Champions League trophy with two different teams. He's one of now seven head coaches who've managed to achieve that, and it underlines the success that he's had, his reputation as one of the top managers in world football. But you do feel, as we've alluded to, that this glory, this moment, has been coming for a while. It was a question perhaps of when, not if, but you have to be the best to do it, and they have been the best team in Europe this season.
Kevin, we can see that the winners and the runners-up medals have now been placed in the pitch, which means we know we're going to see a disappointed Inter team, first of all, who have given so much this season, going up, followed by Paris. But just one on Luis Enrique. I mean, you actually mentioned in commentary when you said he's like a father figure to this group of young players, and you see that out right now. There's such great pride, I think, in him. He's absolutely exhausted, but you can sense that the camaraderie that he's built in this group, and they showed tonight, some of the best footballers, young footballers, in the world right now.
It's not an easy thing to do, necessarily in the modern era, to generate the authority that he has, because you've got lots of different players, lots of different personalities, in some cases lots of different egos. You have to balance all of that. But the thing that runs through everything with him is absolute belief in his football. Absolute belief that if you do these things that I'm spelling out for you, it will work. You will win things and we can win the Champions League. And he was right. And the most important thing about his football is not all the stuff on the ball. That's great. It's not necessarily the way that they take defences apart. It's actually the collective without the ball. Because the pressing, the working for each other, Kvaratskhelia coming back from the wing to left back to try and dispossess a player at 4-0 up,
yeah.
That kind of dedication is exactly what it's all about. It's a very modern football team, this Paris team.
Well, the Inter fans, most have stayed. Very differing, of course, that's a final, particularly a Champions League final. And they gave so much drama on their run, ultimately falling short for the second time in three seasons under Simone Inzaghi. But we've seen the UEFA president, Alexander Čeferin, making his way to the presentation podium, which means the wait is almost over for Paris Saint-Germain. Luis Enrique and Kvitsa Kvaratskhelia hugging, of course. He was at Napoli in the first half of the season. Actually played quite a big part in them winning Serie A. But here he is now, a Champions League winner, as the chairman of Paris Saint-Germain. This is a moment, ever since he took charge of the club, that he has been dreaming of. But boy, I wonder if anyone at Paris Saint-Germain, Joe, thought that the long wait, and of course they came close in the final 5 years ago, but whether they thought when they did win it, it would be so comfortable in the end, and maybe that made it even better, because for the last 20 minutes, it was just a party, as we see Javier Pastore, who brought the trophy on before kickoff alongside Javier Zanetti. But instead of the different ribbons on either side of the trophy, it's Paris Saint-Germain colours on both sides now. He puts it on the plinth, and shortly that will be in the hands of Marquinhos and the rest of the current Paris Saint-Germain players. One of those great names from the past, Pastore, and you look through the years, Joe. Kylian Mbappe, Neymar, Lionel Messi, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, George Weah back in the 90s. So many wonderful Paris players didn't win it when they were at the club. This group have managed to get over the line.
It's footballing immortality for this squad. Whatever happens going forward in the history of Paris Saint-Germain, and there could be plenty more yet to come, they will always be remembered as the class of 2025 that did it first, that won the UEFA Champions League trophy, that did what no previous team was able to do. And I think team is the key word. That is exactly the ethic that Luis Enrique has installed. There was a moment towards the end of the game when Kvaratskhelia, having scored his goal, the fourth of the night as it turned out, raced back about 50, 60 yards to block off Dumfries and then win a free kick. That sums up the approach, I think, of this Paris team.
The officials getting their moment here. Isfan Kovacs led the game brilliantly from Romania. We're seeing the video assistant referees now, Denis Higlar and Catalan Popa, getting their medals from Alexander Čeferin. And for the officials, it's you get this on merit for how you've performed this year. And they are now under the arch that says winners, Paris Saint-Germain, having their picture taken. And now the worst walk, the walk that nobody wants to make. But again, a wonderful moment of sporting integrity here, as Paris Saint-Germain players and staff have formed a guard of honour for Lautaro Martinez and his Inter team to walk through. And after a final, in the end, so one-sided, wonderful moment, Kev, of mutual respect between the two sets of players.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there should be respect for this Inter team, because they've reached two Champions League finals in the last three seasons. They've made this club, which is European royalty, let's not forget, they've made them relevant again in the UEFA Champions League. There was a spell of six seasons where they weren't even in it. And for them to get this far in two of the last three seasons is a great reflection on them, a great reflection on the coach, Simone Inzaghi, and a great reflection on Beppe Marotta for the way that he's put this squad together. So I really hope these players get what they deserve in terms of the respect and the love from the Inter fans. I'm sure they will, because for them to knock out Bayern and then to knock out Barcelona, that was an amazing achievement. And this will hurt for a long, long time, but I just hope in the fullness of time they will be revered in the way that they should be.
Simone Inzaghi at the back of the queue, a second runners-up medal. He was desperately hoping that he'd have his first European title as a coach, but what a job he has done. But here is the moment for Paris Saint-Germain. They have climbed to the top of the European game tonight. And I'll hand you to your commentator, Joe Shannon, for the moment they finally, finally get their hands on the famous trophy.
Well, the gleeful smiles and looks say it all. Luis Enrique, the head coach who's masterminded this triumph, is at the front of the queue. he collects his gold winner's medal and walks up onto the podium. Little glancing touch of the UEFA Champions League trophy, which is decorated in dark blue and dark red ribbons, the colours of Paris Saint-Germain. This is the moment they have always waited for. Dembele, Vitinha and Donnarumma line up to kiss the gleaming silver trophy here beneath these Munich skies, and the Paris fans dancing away to the left-hand side as Achraf Hakimi collects his winner's medal. Everybody's just racing forward now towards that podium. Looks of disbelief on Paris Saint-Germain's faces, but no question about it, they are the best side in Europe for good reason. They have won it, and they have won it with style. And already the players are dancing up on the plinth, away to the right-hand side. The awning stood behind them, winners, and with the club crest of Paris Saint-Germain at either side. Kvicha Kvaratskhelia collects his winner's medal, and not far behind is Prenel Kimpembe, who's been a key part of the Paris Saint-Germain squad over so many years. Again, somebody who's seen so much happen at the club. And a big smile on the face of Luis Enrique, who said before the night that his biggest motivation was to make history in Paris, and he's done it. And how fitting that the long-serving skipper Marquinhos is at the back of the queue. A medal, a UEFA Champions League medal around his neck, footballing immortality for Luis Enrique and this magnificent side, from whom there will be plenty more to come. Marquinhos, for the first time, in tears, grabs hold of the UEFA Champions League trophy on the night that the dream became reality. Ticker tape up into the sky. Marquinhos holding up the trophy now. He's going to thrust it into the dark night sky to confirm that it is a night to remember for Paris Saint-Germain. For the first time ever, the team from the French capital are the kings of Europe. And they all gather in and around Marquinhos as that trophy with the dark blue and dark red banners is hoisted skywards among a crowd of gleeful players and coaching staff. The night they will never forget, a performance and a result to go down in history. Paris Saint-Germain, the UEFA Champions League winners for 2025.
As every player now gets their turn, Kvicha Kvaratskhelia with a couple of feints, lifting the trophy like he plays the game.
Isn't that typical?
Absolutely. I wonder, and these images will go around the world now in terms of some of the pictures, that moment when Marquinhos picked it up, the emotion hit him right there, Kev. This is a new group, a new era. He is the one constant, the guy who's been at Paris in this huge journey they have been on since the new ownership. And if ever there was a fitting captain to end a club's wait to lift their first title, it has to be the Brazilian centre-back.
He's been the constant, you know, hundreds of games for the club. He's been part of all the near misses, part of all the heartache, part of those moments where they wondered, would they ever get over the line in this competition? And you do have to praise people at all levels of the club, because it does take some humility to say at some stage, do you know what, we've tried this and we've probably got it wrong. We've tried to go a certain way, we've tried to have superstars, and actually we're going to pivot, we're going to do something different. That takes a bit of bravery, that takes a bit of humility to say, right, we're going to try something different, we're going to go with young players, we're going to give a coach a huge amount of authority, we're going to, you know, the whole thing will fall or succeed by what he does. And they believed in his ability to set the template and to say to these players, this is how we can win the Champions League. And he was right, and they've done it.
Luis Campos and Nasser Al-Khelaifi have been hoisted up along with Luis Enrique, kind of that three-pronged management team, if you like, at Paris Saint-Germain. One end of the stadium almost empty now, the Inter supporters having taken their leave. No one is leaving anytime soon of Paris Saint-Germain persuasion. What an extraordinary victory it was. The eyes of the footballing world on Munich tonight. Whenever this city has hosted the final before, it's always been a night for first-time winners. Nottingham Forest, Marseille, Dortmund and Chelsea before. And after the pyrotechnics of a pulsating build-up, it soon became clear that Paris Saint-Germain will continue the Munich storyline of historic triumphs.
Hello, everyone, ahead of what will hopefully be a riveting night in Munich, the final step on the path to European glory. Plays it back to Vitinha. Lovely ball to Doué. Cuts it across. Hakimi's there to tap it in. What a start for Paris. Achraf Hakimi against his old club. And a glorious start for the team from Paris. They lead Inter by a goal to nil. Dembele down the inside left. He can cut it back across towards the edge of the box. Doué's controlled it on his chest. And it's deflected in. It's two. What a night for Désiré Doué. And what a night this is turning for Paris. Plenty forward in bright yellow, delivered in by Çalhanoğlu towards Thuram, heads it wide at the back post, closest that Inter have come so far. And that is the last action of the first half. Paris halfway to history.
For Paris Saint-Germain, they've never been closer to the ultimate dream of being crowned champions of Europe.
Lovely flick, Dembele on the halfway line. Vitinha's got Doué ahead of him. Doué into the penalty area! He's done it again! A new star is born, and there will surely be a new name on the UEFA Champions League trophy.
The composure, the quality, and then an ice cool finish from Désiré Doué. That is Paris in a nutshell.
Dembele has put Kvaratskhelia clear this to really wrap it up. It's four. Kvitsa Kvaratskhelia has rattled it beyond the goalkeeper. The coaching staff, the substitutes race onto the pitch in celebration. Barkala with the angle tied back to Mayulu. It's five. This is absolutely extraordinary. What a moment for Seni Mayulu.
As complete a performance as you can imagine, under the most enormous pressure.
As the final whistle is blown and the Champions League trophy is finally heading to Paris, tonight is the greatest night in the history of Paris Saint-Germain. The biggest margin of victory ever in any Champions League final.
5-0. Paris Saint-Germain have taken the trophy from the middle of the pitch to their supporters at that end of the stadium. Pictures that they will cherish for the rest of their lives. Before tonight, four teams had won a final by four goals. Real Madrid in 1960, Bayern in a replay in 1974, and AC Milan twice in 1989 and 1994, when there was a famous quote from Fabio Capello. He's called it footballing perfection after Milan had beaten Barcelona 4-0. One of the enduring quotes post-match. I wonder what Luis Enrique is going to make of the performance that you have just heard there as the celebrations go on. If we go right back to the beginning, when they came out for their warm-up, Kev, Marquinhos had a look on his face as if, and maybe it's easy to say in hindsight when they've won 5-0, like nothing was stopping him and his team this evening. And their performance in the opening 20 minutes to score those two goals was nothing short of remarkable, really.
I mean, the determination they showed, the... Joe absolutely nailed it, actually, with his comments in the first half. He used the word nerveless. And that was the way they started. And it wasn't just the first 10 minutes. It was the first half hour. They had a slight moment where they stepped off the accelerator and Inter, I think, sensed that and started to create some moments for themselves. But to approach it in this way with all of that pressure, with everybody saying, can they finally do it? Can they finally get over the line? I mean, you can understand somebody like Marquinhos having his game face on. But for guys like Doué, and João Neves to approach a Champions League final like this and say, yeah, this is fine, we can deal with this. They actually enjoyed it. That was the thing. They actually really enjoyed it. You see players who are crushed by this kind of occasion and they just can't do the things they would normally do. But Doué just grew. You'd see him like, give me the ball. Let me run at them. Let me do things. It was incredible.
No player in the Paris squad was born when Marseille won it in 1993. Only four were born when they won their last major trophy, the UEFA Cup Winners' Cup, in 1996. But the quality of those first two goals, Joe, the pass to Doué, the square ball to Hakimi for 1-0, and then Willian Pacho, it looked like Inter were going to win a corner. They were trying to shepherd it out. He arrived from nowhere, not giving up anything. He managed to hook it, keep it in play, and set them on their way for that devastating counter-attack for 2-0. Did that sum up that this new Paris collective that Luis Enrique has built?
Absolutely, the new ethos, and everybody talks about how magnificent Désiré Doué has been this season and tonight, and he absolutely was. But Willian Pacho is another example of a young player, perhaps little known for some, who has taken to the UEFA Champions League like a duck to water. He's started every single game in Paris's run across the course of the competition. He's still only 23 years of age. And I think the exciting thing for this Paris Saint-Germain team is you feel that it is just the start of what is to come. This is only the beginning. And sometimes the hardest trophy to win, I think, in football is the first one, when you think about the pressure that you talked about earlier on, Chris. But the way they dealt with the pressure tonight to produce one of the most complete performances we've seen in the history of the final, I think there's a lot more to come from this team.
Mark van Bommel, who was Willian Pacho's coach at Antwerp, tells a nice story about when he went round to Pacho's place and he said, oh, can I have a drink? And he opened the fridge and there was only really cola in the fridge. And he said, you can't just be having fizzy drinks. You have to be drinking water. You have to be looking after yourself. And after he'd moved and after he'd eventually joined Paris, he sent him a picture and he went, look, coach, only water in the fridge, I've learned. Now, it's only a little thing, but what it tells you is it tells you there's a group of players here who listen. And even though it's a silly thing like that, don't drink fizzy drinks, look after yourself, drink water, all that stuff. Actually, yeah, as a player, of course, actually, it's about taking those lessons on board. Mm. And it's about, you know, developing as a player. And when you listen to a coach, you can move a step forward.
Interesting, because he is draped in the Ecuadorian flag. We've just seen images of the Paris players going back to the dressing room holding a trophy. First ever Ecuadorian winner of the European Cup tonight. The first ever South Korean winner of the European Cup in Kangin Lee. The first ever Moroccan winner for Achraf Hakimi. This Paris success will be celebrated globally in those football mad nations where those individuals are monumental superstars. But again, to produce the performance that they did under what must have been huge pressure, both, you know, individually and of course as the club. So 2-0 up at half time. That chance of Marcus Thuram when he headed over from the corner in the first period felt quite important. And then when Doué made it 3 following a brilliantly slick move on 63 minutes, Joe. We heard your commentary. That was game over. There was no way that Inter were coming back.
I think the one chance that Inter had, and Kev alluded to this at half-time in the commentary, was in those 15 minutes in early on in the second half, because there was a response, there was a greater intensity about Inter, but Paris were just so ruthless with their finishing. And actually, as Doué ran onto that pass, you knew even before he'd hit it that he was going to finish it. The way that he took it, the confidence with which he ran onto the pass, you know, he was playing like he was playing a game with his friends on a five-a-side pitch. It was that level of confidence in his own ability. Didn't feel the pressure on his shoulders whatsoever. And then at that point, it becomes very difficult for him to get back into the game. But the quality of the attacking play was on another level.
The calm he showed for the first goal in setting up Hakimi, the calm he showed with picking the near post finish for his second goal. And just the awareness of everything around him, it is just really quite extraordinary for a player of his age. And the other thing as well is that when you think about Désiré Doué, it's not just about his technical quality. It's not just about his work rate. He's clearly worked on his physique as well. He clearly looks after himself. And that does make such a massive difference in the modern game. It's about athletes. It's about players, you know, not just being able to do incredible things with the ball at their feet, but being able to make those sprints time and time again, being able to close down, all that stuff. So very, very impressive.
I think that's what's part of the Luis Enrique ethic that we've been talking about as well. And, you know, something that is different about this Paris Saint-Germain side, the effectiveness of the team out of possession is just as impressive as what they do on the ball. And they manoeuvre the ball as a unit, as a team, rather than a team of individuals. You know, it's a team that is worth more than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, interesting you mentioned that. In particular, in that the third goal, the glorious back heel from Dembélé, which really opened up the move. Because, Kev, they don't have, well, certainly before this season anyway, a kind of outright centre forward that they start with. I mean, you look tonight, Inter have two in Thuram and Lautaro Martinez, whereas Paris have this very fluid front three. But, I mean, that, as an extraordinary, other teams have tried it, that's an extraordinary level of understanding of your teammate's game, coaching from Luis Enrique to ensure that even without kind of that always the same focal point anyway, they are able to be so devastating.
I think that's the point. It's that they understand each other. And when one moves wide, one might move into the centre, they're happy to swap around. They're equally comfortable out wide as through the middle. So Dembélé, if you think about it, has always been a winger generally, but now plays in this central area. His movement's so good because he'll get in between the lines. And what we mean when we say that is you're in between the defensive line and the midfield line. Now, that causes havoc if you can pick up those pockets of space. And he's done it all the way through this knockout phase run. He's been a really elusive runner. And when you've got guys who finish like centre-forwards, why do you necessarily need a centre-forward? So it's the best of both worlds for Luis Enrique, because you get that fluidity, you get that movement, but you actually get ruthless finishing as well.
And we saw that again from Kvicic Kvaratskhelia to make it 4 on 73 minutes. And then, I mean, talk about a perfect night. They bring on a teenager who's come through their academy, Joe, and he gets his name in lights as a final goal scorer as well.
Virtually his first touch, if I remember rightly. Young man from the northwestern suburbs of Paris, only his fourth ever UEFA Champions League appearance. And a reminder that, yes, of course, it's a squad that, you know, has not been assembled without expense. I think everybody knows that. But a reminder that Paris Saint-Germain are more than capable of bringing through potential stars of the future through their own youth system. And I think, you know, that as part of this triumph tonight will be really encouraging for everybody at the club.
I said it in the commentary, it's not somebody they've brought in, it's somebody they've brought through.
Yeah.
And that is going to be really important for this club going forward, because Paris, the raw material you have,
it's absurd, isn't it?
Is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So if you can bring those guys through, and I always believe this, if you can show players a pathway, then it makes such a difference, because players might have looked at it at one stage and thought, well, they can bring in who they want and they've got top stars in every position. How am I going to get through? And then you just show them Mayulu wheeling away after scoring that goal. Just show them that and say, there's your pathway. You can do it here. And that is hugely important, because it will save them a bit of money for a start. But I think that identification is really, really important, because they've been clear about this. They don't just want it to be about Paris. They want to be a club that France can be proud of. And that's absolutely how you do it.
Joining Marseille, their great domestic rivals as champions of Europe tonight as well. And the scenes, particularly in the second half when they scored their goals in front of their supporters, moments you you just wish you could have been in the middle of the mayhem behind that stand as they scored. Vitinha, who's been so good this season, so good tonight. Let's hear from him now, a European champion.
We wanted to win this trophy for a lot of reasons. It's our dream, it's everyone's dream, it's my dream, and I'm glad we made it. It's incredible. It's a very good team. The result, it's not by magic. We are a very good team, and we are very, very happy that we did it like this, and now we're going to celebrate.
Celebrate they will quickly on Vitinha. I feel like you could praise anybody in Paris, but as a key member of that midfield three of Fabian Ruiz, he and João Neves, exceptional again, but all season long, Kev. I mean, that has to be one of the best midfield units in world football right now.
Oh, wow, absolutely. I mean, if you're keeping Warren Zaïre-Emery out of the midfield three, you're doing something right, because he's got unbelievable potential. They're just a lovely mix. And they all are brilliant on the ball, but all do what's necessary without it. You know, João Neves and Vitinha are not big guys, but they make up for it because they are terriers. They will hunt the ball down, they'll go and win it, but they have such belief in their technical quality as well. And it's all about little decisions here and there. It's all about movement. It's all about being in the right place at the right time. It's that positional game. And you're asking them to make so many decisions all the time, and they get it right almost every time. It's phenomenal, what they've been able to do.
Certainly has. And the man who has masterminded it, as we mentioned, Luis Enrique. Now, Joe, you talked the fact that he is now a winner with two different clubs. And as we know, and I think most people will know, he has been through an extraordinary personal tragedy since he last lifted it in 2015. And actually, at the end, there was a wonderful, heartbreaking, heartwarming tifo from the Paris players in honour of his late daughter, who we actually saw, of course, he was thinking about. So it, on a human level, for Luis Enrique, extraordinary story for him, one I think we can all truly appreciate. But in terms of the coach, Kevin, has he now joined those really elite, legendary coaches from the past 70 years with what he's achieved, not just at one, but at two club teams now?
Yeah, he has, because to do it with Barcelona was one thing, and that was very impressive. But this feels like something he has not built from the ground up, but he was set this task, this project of, can you get us to play a different way? Can we operate in a different way? Can you develop these young talents? And the tifo you've talked about, you know, reflecting Sana, who he lost to illness, that shows the bond he's built with these fans in such a short amount of time. And that was such an extraordinarily emotional moment. And this is what he's able to do. You know, he's a genuine guy. He speaks his truth unapologetically. You know, he says what he thinks, and people really take to that, and rightly so. And I think this is actually the way this has been done. The way he's gone about it is hugely positive for the sport. It's hugely positive for Paris, as we've said. But this is about team ethic. This is about developing young talent. This is about the kind of things we like the sport to be about. And he deserves just the most immense amount of credit.
5-0 win in a UEFA Champions League final against a very, very good Inter side as well. One of the best defensive teams all season long over the last couple of years under Simone Inzaghi, but they could not handle Paris Saint-Germain this evening. We began, of course, this campaign back in September with a new format marking a new era for this great competition. And for the first time ever, 36 of Europe's best clubs competed in a true league phase. Few could have predicted the shocks, the comebacks, the drama, the sheer joy that it would deliver. It's the dawn of a new era in the UEFA Champions League. More clubs, more matches, and more drama guaranteed.
Excellent ball fed forward, and Durant shoots! What a hit and what a goal! The super sub has done it again! He just can't just netted one of Aston Villa's most historic goals for decades.
Great first time touch on the chest. Rafinha! It's a hat-trick! It's a brilliant hat-trick! It's Barca 4, Bayern 1.
Where again? McKennie in space! Fires home! It's a second goal for Juventus from Weston McKennie! And Manchester City might just be beaten!
Hello and welcome to a momentous night in the UEFA Champions League as the inaugural league phase reaches its conclusion.
If you have an appetite for high-intensity drama, this is going to satisfy it.
Sweeps out a ball to Savinho. He's in, Savinho! It's a marvellous goal from Savinho for Manchester City. And feel the relief.
Vinicius Junior darting down the left, out comes Edison, Vinicius Junior slumped his over him, Bellingham is there, Bellingham has stayed in, Real Madrid have done it, they've won it.
Doué steps up and scores, and sends Paris Saint-Germain through. They've won at Anfield, they're into the quarter-finals of the Champions League.
Declan Rice to strike it, right foot it, oh my goodness, what a goal.
Goes inside, goes outside, pulls it back, chance, goal! They've got another, Ezri Konsa! It's on! It's truly on!
Here's Hakimi! That might just do it for Paris Saint-Germain!
The first leg last week was a classic. Will we get a repeat tonight?
There's a bender in! Frattesi! Fabulous! This has been one serious advert for Champions League football.
Dembele has put Kvaratskhelia clear. This to really wrap it up! It's four! The coaching staff, the substitutes, race onto the pitch in celebration. It is a night to remember.
An amazing season, a different season, and one we look forward to again next campaign when the league phase gets underway in September. So because of this evening's outcome, Seru Girassi and Rafinha, congratulations to those two players who share the top goal scoring award in this season's UEFA Champions League final. A great individual accolade for them. Robert Lewandowski and Harry Kane were kind of joint second on 11 goals. Gents, this new league phase, everybody played eight games instead of in the group stage when we had six. We had matches in January. We essentially had a whole season, really, with no great break, which I was a huge fan of.
Yeah, me too.
And Joe, you can't have tonight. any particular moments, matches that really stand out from the last 8 months or so?
Oh, loads. I mean,
it's a hard question, I know.
Where do you start?
The 5-4 for Barcelona against Benfica.
Oh, yeah.
What a crazy game that was.
Pavlidis scored a hat-trick.
Yes. Yeah. So Vangelis Pavlidis scores a hat-trick in the first half hour for Benfica against Barcelona. And you're thinking, oh, there's one I can tell the grandkids. And then you think, oh, but I lost. Yeah. I mean, it's just an absolutely mad game. And you think of the semi-final,
yeah,
Frattesi's winner for Inter, and the emotion that created. That was amazing. Brest qualifying for the knockout phase. Ran into Paris, so, I mean, that's not the reward you want. But what an amazing achievement for them to get as far as they did. Lille beating
Stop
Atletico
stealing
Madrid
all of Joe's options.
I'm just excited because there were so many things that happened and you're thinking, wow, this has been a brilliant tournament.
I think the semi-final between Inter and Barcelona was possibly the greatest Champions League semi-final that we've seen. The number of goals and the sheer amount of drama over both legs. And Declan Rice scoring two direct free kicks against Real Madrid. That's probably the greatest night that Arsenal have experienced in their UEFA Champions League history. Manchester City against Real Madrid in the knockout round playoff tie, with Real Madrid winning it in stoppage time. A lot of excitement across the course of the competition. A load of great stories. I think the league format has produced some brilliant unpredictability and a kind of accelerated level of excitement. So then you get to the knockout stages and they always deliver as well. So it's been a fabulous campaign.
I think what it's done, actually, this league phase, is it is going to make some of the big hitters, in inverted commas, really think about how they approach it. Because what was really interesting, I thought, was when the fixtures came out, you looked at some of the schedules that some of these teams had and you thought, wow, that is so hard, like some of the lists of games. Because that's what we got in the league phase. Mm. We've got some really big hitters running into each other time and time again. And that was great to see. And I think clubs are going to have realised we're going to have to really hit this from the get-go, because if we don't, we might be in trouble. And that was the case with Paris.
Yes.
And it was more, it wasn't that Paris took it easy, they didn't. But what happened was Paris had a few games where they didn't make the most of their chances. It went against them. And you were thinking with about three or four games to go, wow, they might not actually make it.
Well, when they were 2-0 down on match day 7 on the 22nd of January at home to Manchester City, they were in real danger of being eliminated in the league phase. That they stormed back to win that game 4-2. Even on match day 8, they went into that mathematically. They could have dropped out of the top 24 and have been eliminated from the competition, but they went to Stuttgart, and I think we heard in that montage there, 1-4-1, and quite literally that the rest is history. But we saw jeopardy, even for ultimately the best of the best, we saw jeopardy throughout the season.
That Man City game, I think, was liftoff for them in this tournament, because they were really up against it and they trusted in their attacking play, and they were able to shred Manchester City's defence in the end, and the press, actually. That was one of the games where you thought, this team, it doesn't matter how you press them, how you try and pressure them, they can play their way through it. So that really, I think, was a big leap for them mentally.
And they've done it all with style and quality and class. You know, you talk about winning in football, and there are different ways to win football matches and different ways to win club tournaments. But, you know, Paris Saint-Germain, you look at their scoring record over the competition, 38 goals over the Champions League campaign. They've had to play 17 matches. They've scored 152 goals this season across all competitions. And then you put it together at the end with a 90-minute performance, a five-goal victory and a final that will probably go down as one of the best all-time European final performances in the history of the competition. And you have a team that have done just about everything, winning and winning with style as well.
Gents, before we go, almost time to wrap up. I've been asked for your moments of the night, and that's not easy, I know. Kevin's having a long think.
I've got it.
Go on.
I've got it. Apart from the tifo for Luis Enrique from the Paris fans, which is probably my moment of the night, but Doué's pass to Hakimi for the first goal. I cannot tell you how extraordinary it is for a teenager with that kind of chance at 0-0 in the Champions League final to go, I'll pass this to a guy who's better placed than me. Just unbelievable maturity.
I think Marquinhos' expression on lifting the trophy, joy and relief all combined into one. He's been there, he's seen it, he's done it all, he's tried so many times, and now tonight is his night. I think that's a pretty special moment.
Yeah, agreed. I might have the beaming smile on Luis Enrique's face as he looked at his medal. Only the second man to guide two teams to a treble after Pep Guardiola. So congratulations to Luis Enrique. And let's give the final word to the Paris Saint-Germain coach.
That was our goal from the last year, and the second year we can achieve that. Now we need to continue making history and winning another one. And before, we need to enjoy that, and making a lot of people happy is a good feeling.
Massive congratulations to Luis Enrique and to Paris Saint-Germain. Kevin, Joe, thank you very much as ever. So there we have it. A new era of the UEFA Champions League has given us a new winner. Paris Saint-Germain have finally bagged the trophy they've always craved, they've always dreamed about. We are a little over 100 days away from it all starting again, the return of the league phase, when once more 36 clubs will begin their campaigns, dreaming of emulating Paris Saint-Germain and lifting the trophy at the Puskás Arena in Budapest this time next year. For now, from me, Chris Parrott, and all of the Matchday Live team, it is goodbye and congratulations to Paris.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.